I like that standing up to sing. Sometimes there are certain songs that you sing, you can't sit. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we're going to have our AIM group from Lubbock will be with us. They'll be doing the services tonight. If there was ever a service you needed to make, tonight at 6 is going to be one of those. They are got three young men who are going to do very short devotionals. Their names are Taylor and Ryan and Evan. I think you know them. And they are, in fact, one of them last night sent a message and said, would you please tell them we're speaking tonight and we have something to tell you and ask them to come. And I said, I would do that. They're going to be working, the young people, there's about 50 of the group coming. They're going to be working in the community for the next 3 days. Staying in many of your homes. There is a schedule posted out here on the board if you need to look to see what they are doing. Tonight after services, we will be feeding just them. And if you are keeping kids, you can come up here and get them about 8 o'clock. I will give you more details on the announcement sheet that's on the bulletin board of what they're doing all week long. We want you to get to know these young people. They are special young people, and they will be going in about 2 months to places all over the world to do mission work. We're going to be in Psalm 57, if you want to turn there. Psalm 57. David had been told from a young boy, you're going to be the king. God has got a special plan for you. Now, if I'm a young boy thinking God's got a special plan for me, if a prophet would have come and told me, Trey, God is going to do some amazing things in your world and you are going to be a king. I don't know about you, but I would have expected it to take place pretty quick. Didn't come real quick for David. In fact, success came well for David, but there came a time in his life, down around chapter 22 and chapter 21 of 1 Samuel that you read this week, David really is struggling. And the part that he's struggling with is because all the promises that God told him were going to take place, not only have they not come to be, but just the opposite has happened. Instead of becoming king, David has become an outlaw. Running for his life. He is being chased by the current king, Saul, who is trying with all of his army to find him so that he can kill him. I don't know about you, but if I'm David, I'm thinking, God, did you not say that I was going to be king someday? And yet what you find David doing is you find David on the run, all alone, by himself. And right at the end of chapter 21, he comes into a town and people recognize him and he pretends to be a madman and drools all over himself and acts crazy because he's scared because they're trying to kill him and they can hand him over to Saul. And when you get to chapter 22, you find in verse 1, Saul, David, is hiding in a cave all by himself. Trying to figure out, what do I do now? I'm supposed to be the king. And somehow I've gone to become an outlaw. Wanted. And if they catch me, they're going to kill me. In a cave. Caves are always dark. Caves are always musty. They're always cold. They're never any fun. He tried to find shelter in the cave because he thought it was a safe place. But you know, you've probably been in a cave or two in your life. Not a real cave, but figuratively, like David. It's very possible that your cave may have been when a doctor told you that you have something wrong with you and you felt dark and alone and everything was against me in this world. You expected God to take care of you somewhere, somehow, but somehow or another right now you're just feeling like there's nobody there. Or maybe it's something in your family. Maybe you've had someone that's died that was close to you. and you don't know how your world is ever going to survive without them, and you understand what it's like to be in a cave all alone, thinking that there is no way out and no one knows you're there and I can't do anything. Maybe it's been in a relationship in your family. Maybe your marriage isn't what it's supposed to be and you feel like you're in a cave. Maybe it's with your child, and maybe your relationship is strained with your parent. Maybe you've raised a child in the Lord and you did everything you could to push him or her in the right direction, and they have walked out choosing to say, I don't want anything to do with your faith. And it's like being in a cave. And you feel all alone, and you feel hurt, and you don't have anybody to talk to, and you have nowhere to go, and you expected God to be there, and you don't know why you're in this situation. That's why God gave us Psalm 57. I don't know what kind of cave you've been in, and you may say, well, I had never really seen a cave. I hadn't really been one in life. It's never been dark and dreary. Let me just tell you, it's coming if it hasn't. It will. It will come. It will come, and it won't be fun. Whether it's business-related, family-related, whatever-related, health-related, spiritual-related, emotional-related, somewhere you'll find yourself thinking, I am all alone in this world, and I have no answers. And so we've got to learn from David. David, what do we do when we're in the cave? How do we get out of the cave? How do we deal with everything that's going on when things seem bleak? What do we do when we're in a cave? Psalm 57. You know the first thing that David does, if we can just take some of the things that David does through this psalm, because you find him, David gives this psalm while he's in that cave in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And the first thing he does, notice with me, he says, have mercy on me, O God, have mercy on me, for in you my soul takes refuge. And I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. The very first thing that David chooses to do should be the very first thing you choose to do if you ever find yourself in a situation like that, and that is simply to pray. To start by praying to God and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Did you notice in verse 1, he doesn't say have mercy once, but two times he says, Lord, take some mercy on me. Do you understand what mercy is? Do you understand what David is saying? Now, those of you who grew up, we used to play a game called Mercy, where if you remember, you find somebody and you lock hands with them and you try to bend their wrists back and you fight back and forth, you know, bending them wrists back until one of them gives in and the other one says, mercy, which means I give up. Some of you may have used the word calf rope. That's what I heard from my dad a long time. I remember laying in the floor one time and him pinned us down and about to break my neck, and he said, say calf rope. And I thought, why? What does calf rope have to do with anything? That was a word he used. He didn't say mercy. He said calf rope. And I was thinking, well, he's killing me and he's wanting me to say a calf rope. What does that mean? And it took me a while to figure out calf rope to him meant mercy. And so I learned real quick when he pinned me down, it was about to break my arm to holler calf rope, which meant I give up, Dad. You weigh 200 pounds more than me. Sometimes we call it uncle. Say, uncle, or just say, I give up. That's kind of what mercy is. When David cries out and he says to the Lord, Lord, give me mercy, he is saying, Lord, I give up. I give up. Uncle, calf rope, give me some mercy. I'm giving everything to you. I don't want to do it anymore. And sometimes it takes getting to the point in life to where you finally say, Lord, I just don't know what else to do. And so I'm just giving you all of it. I give up. That the Lord finally says, good, now I can help you. Because we tend to be people that says, Lord, help me with this, and then we keep it and we keep working on it. Or, Lord, help me with this, and we keep worrying it and stressing and fretting. And sometimes it's not until we get to the point to where we just say, it's yours, Lord. I just can't do anything else. And God finally says, it's about time. Now I can help. when we finally give up and cry mercy. I don't know who said it or where it came from, but I've always liked it. When life knocks you to your knees, sometimes the best thing you can do is just stay there. Just stay there. Sometimes when you're in a cave, you would think the first reaction is to pray, but that's not always the case. Sometimes the first reaction is not to pray. Seems like sometimes every now and then I'll have someone that'll come and I'll visit with them and they'll say, I'm really struggling and I'm really having this hard time and I've come to talk to you today. I want you to pray for me. And I say, well, have you prayed about it? Well, no. And I'm going, man, you've been carrying this burden around and you hadn't even asked God to help you in this? You haven't cried mercy? You hadn't said, Uncle? Let me tell you something. I love it when people ask me to pray for them, and I do. But God doesn't, you know, He doesn't look at me and say, well, if you get Trey to pray for you, special things happen in your life. God doesn't see me any different than He does anybody else. And it's nice to look around and say, hey, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And it's okay to find folks to pray for you. But let me tell you, the first thing you need to do when you're struggling is pray for yourself. Start there. And it's okay to call somebody and call friends and elders and preachers and teachers and whoever you know, spiritual people, and say, pray for me. It's okay. But start by praying for yourself. God wants to hear from you. I can't see David going in a cave and sitting down and going, I'm not even talking to you, Lord. I'm not even going to talk about it. First thing you do when you find yourself in a cave is you pray about it. You know, as a father, any dad worth his weight, their greatest desire in this world when their child is born into this world is to have a relationship with that child. I mean, if you've recently had a baby, there is just something magical. Let me rephrase that. There is something miraculous that takes place. You go from being a dad. Dads are kind of on the outside. Because moms get to carry the baby. Now moms are going, well, if I could let him help carrying it, I'd have let him help carry it. But moms get all the, you know, they get to know that baby because that baby spends time with them for about 9 months. Dads, they just kind of sit back. They're out of the picture. They can't do a whole lot until the baby actually gets there. I remember when my first ones came out, I remember thinking, especially when the first, because as a new dad, you're going, how am I going to have a relationship with my kids? I don't even know them. This new thing's coming in this world. But there's something miraculous that takes place when a child is born in the world that a parent desires to have a relationship with that child, no matter what it takes. The parent's greatest desire is to have a relationship with that child. It's no different with God. God's greatest desire in this world is to have a relationship with you. And when that relationship takes place, He loves to hear from you. I love it when my kids call me by name. I love it when my kids call me on the phone. I love it when the kids say, Dad, you got a second to talk? You think God's any different? When my kids have problems, I want them to be able to say, hey, Mom, hey, Dad. God's not any different. The first thing David did when he found himself in a cave was he decided he needed to pray. Two biblical examples. Jesus, I guarantee you, Jesus was in a cave just before His death on the cross. And He went to the garden and He prayed and He sweat drops like blood. And you know what He was doing while He was grieving? He was praying. When David's baby was so sick, and he wasn't sure if that baby was going to live or die, you know what he did? He prayed his heart out. There's lots of examples of people praying. Let me give you the second thing that you need to be doing. Second thing you need to do is seek God. Now you may be going, hey, if I'm praying, am I not seeking God? Well, one of the things that people tend to do, and I don't quite get it all the time, is one of the things that people tend to do when something happens that puts you in a cave is people automatically tend to blame God. Well, this is, why did God let this happen? I had a person call me a while back. Said, hey, can you pray for a friend of mine whose child is sick? And I said, I can, and I am so sorry to hear about this. And pray for the dad too. And I said, why? And they said, well, because he's blaming God for all of this. And I remember thinking, oh, don't be doing that. You know, why would you want to blame God? Instead, what you need to be doing is seeking God. Take notice of what David says. Look in verse 1 and start in verse 2. David does not say... Notice what he does not say first. David doesn't say, God, this is all your fault. David doesn't say, Lord, why are you letting this happen? David doesn't say, Lord, this is the most ridiculous thing. I can't believe I'm blaming you. Instead, what David says is, I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed, and I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills His purpose for me. He says, Lord, I'm not running from You. I'm not blaming You. I'm seeking You. Jesus says in John chapter 10, in verse 10, that it's the thief, talking about Satan, is the one that steals, kills, and destroys. Jesus says, I'm the one that came and gave you life. And yet somehow or another, bad things happen in this world. A lot of times we automatically think, well, why did God do that? What we need to do is seek Him and take refuge. I like that, in the shadow of your wings. In the shadow of your wings. You may have had children at some time or another that hide behind you when somebody tries to visit with them, and they automatically scoot back behind a mom or back behind a dad because they're just a little bit on the shy side, or maybe they're just a little on the spook side of people that they don't know very well. That's their way of saying, hey, I got to get up behind my mom. Mom will take care of me, or dad will take care of me. If you've ever been around chickens much, and one that's got a bunch of little chicks, a hen, you'll find out, boy, when they're little bitty and you come in and you spook them a little bit, they all run to that mama, and they all get right up underneath there, just trying, mama, protect me. That's what David's saying. David's saying, man, I get right up underneath the shadow of your wings. You're my protection, and I'm seeking you. We've had a couple of three disasters here in the last 2 or 3 years. Think of them with me. In 2006, we had a first tornado that came through, did a whole lot of damage. Just about the time we got all that cleaned up, another one came through, did a whole lot of damage 2 years later. And then somewhere in between there, I think actually right after the third disaster was when Dr. Green knocked out the entire electricity over in the southwest part of town trying to do cleanup, cutting down tree limbs. Those are the three big disasters. But if you'll remember, honestly, the first time that we had a tornado that blew through the town of Childress, Texas, most of us didn't know what was even going on. We were a little caught off guard. It actually happened before most of us knew even what was going on. I actually was standing on the porch at Nate's house saying, guys, y'all got to come out here and look at this, you know? The rain's blowing sideways, and I can hear popping and cracking. And had I known what was going on, I'd have been going, guys, let's get in a bathtub. Let's hide somewhere. I'd have been seeking refuge. The second time it came through, we had a little warning. And I'm telling you, you know, there were people, including us, in basements. We were running over to neighbors' houses. And there were people up here. I mean, we were all looking for cover because we figured out we needed to find a place of shelter, a place of safety, whether it be a basement or a cellar or a bathtub or someplace. Man, when disasters come, we hunt for safety. And David says, Lord, disaster's coming right now in my life, and You're my basement. You're my cellar. When's the last time you told God, Lord, I need You to be my refuge. I need You to be my cellar. Periodically during a forest fire, I always find it interesting. I read a while back about some of the things that take place. And when they have a big forest fire, when they go through and they do cleanup, they find a lot of the animals that have been burnt that were not able to escape the fire. And on more than one occasion, they will find a mama bird who has has been burnt from the forest fire that has come through, but she's decided to stay and nest on those eggs in the ground where she was. And they take that mama bird and they might move her out of the way, and out come those little babies that she has had that were safe, that she protected. She gave her life in order to protect those little ones from the fire that came through. That's just like a mom would do, isn't it? Just like a mom. David says, Lord, I'm seeking You. You are my protection. When disaster comes, seek God. Now, look at the next thing he does. Now, this one, you may find a little strange and a little odd, but let me tell you what David does next. David chooses to worship. He chooses to worship. Look in verse 5. David says, Lord, I'm seeking You. Lord, I'm praying to You. I'm looking for some mercy. And then he starts worshiping. He says, and read with me. We're going to look at two or three of these verses for a second. He says, verse 5, he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let Your glory be all over all the earth. Now, to worship, let me explain something in case you're not catching on. When you worship, you come to say good things about God. That's what worship is saying good things about God. The songs you sang this morning, we're standing on holy ground. Whatever it was that you sang, let us come to know You. We are singing to God good things about God. That's what David is doing. He says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let Your glory be over all the earth. Look in verse 7. My heart is steadfast, O God, and my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Verse 9, I will praise You, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing of You among the peoples. For great is Your love, reaching to the heavens, Your faithfulness reaching to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let Your glory be over all the earth. Now, how many people do you know in a cave, how many people do you know who have struggled with some huge Goliath that's walked into their life and knocked them down? Say, hey, let's go worship. And yet David found comfort in this. You know, I've yet to hear too many folks that come along and they've learned bad news about this or about that, and they say, hey, you know, let's make sure we make it to church Sunday morning. David chooses to worship, to say good things about God. And I love that about David. So instead of blaming him, instead of saying, God, I don't know why You're letting this happen, he says, God, I want to say some good things about You. I knew a family one time that lost a child. Tough. There is no words that can make anybody feel better in a time like that. Later, when they went back to reflect on what happened, the father made the comment. He said, you know, I can't explain the why. I can't explain the timing. I can't explain any of it. But he said, what I do know is that God is good and that He was with us through this whole thing. And I remember thinking, I want faith like that. Even when things look bad. Here's David in a cave, running for his life. Has no clue where he's going to go next. And he says, I think I'll sing. It's kind of like Paul and Silas when they're thrown in jail. They've been whipped. They've been beaten. They are thrown not just in jail, but in the basement. And their arms and feet are in stocks. And they've said, wait till you see what we do to you in the morning. And Silas, I can just hear them in there. I can hear Silas going, Saul, Paul, do you, good chance they might kill us, right? Good chance. Good chance they might beat us again tomorrow? Yeah, probably good chance. Good chance we might be here for a long time? Oh yeah, really good chance. What do you want to do, Paul? How should we handle this? Well, why don't we sing? There is sunshine in my soul today. Now that just almost seems silly to think they would do that, and yet you find them in there, the Bible says, singing. They chose to worship during a time that things looked really bleak. And maybe it has a little bit to do with taking our eyes off of ourselves and looking where it really matters. God is good. Even in bad things, God is still good. Look at the last thing and we'll finish. You got to trust God. And this is the most, if you forget everything else, catch this one point. All right? David says, Lord, I'm going to trust you to take care of me. I'm going to trust you. In fact, he says twice in verse 7, my heart is steadfast. It's trustworthy. My heart is steadfast. Basically, what I'm trying to say is just have a little faith. A God strong enough to create the world in 6 days can surely be strong enough to help you through a dark time. A God strong enough to destroy the world with water and start it all over again, surely strong enough to help you through tough times. A God strong enough that He took the most powerful nation in the world, the Egyptians, untouchable, took them to ruin. Don't you think He's powerful enough to get you through some dark times? But no matter what the outcome, I hope I have the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Because no matter what the outcome is, you still want to choose to serve the Lord. I think that was David's faith. Lord, I don't know what's going to happen when I leave this cave, but I'm still going to serve you. You know, in Daniel chapter 3, the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the king there in this foreign land had built this huge idol and said, when you hear the music play, you bow down, and if you don't bow down, I will kill you. So the first time the music plays, there's three boys, three Jewish boys that decide, we don't bow down to anybody but God. They were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The king heard about it. He was mad, and he pulls him in. He says, I can't believe this. You're going to die over not bowing down to my idol. He says, I'll give you another chance. Somebody play something over there. So they start playing. There's the music. Bow down, and you can go home. They said, sorry, we're not going to do it. We're going to serve God. The king gets so mad and so infuriated that he says, build the furnace that I'm going to burn these people in 10 times hotter than you've ever got it. You make it so hot. I just want it so hot. It was so hot that the guys working the fire burned them up right there. Well, they weren't even the ones that were supposed to be burned up. You know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said? They told the king, and this is the best part. They told the king, they said, we know God has the power to save us. But even if He doesn't, we will still serve Him. We will still choose to serve Him. I don't know what cave you're in or what cave you're going to be in, but I want you and I to have a faith that says, I don't know what the outcome will be, that God has got the power and the strength to save us, but even if He doesn't, we will still choose to serve Him. We can learn a lot from a young boy in a cave. We can learn that there's a lot to do with making it through our dark times by doing things like trusting and worshiping and praying and just seeking God. You know, if my kids went around blaming me for every bad thing they had in their life, I'd have a really hard time wanting to help them. I wonder sometimes when the world goes around blaming God for every bad thing, it's got to be a little frustrating. Instead, maybe we should be praying and seeking and worshiping and trusting and saying, God's got the power to save. But even if He doesn't, we're still going to serve Him and we're still going to follow Him and we're still going to be His. We'll offer an invitation at this time. If you're here this morning and need to respond, prayers, you ready to become a Christian and give your life to God, whatever it is. Maybe you're going through one of them dark times and you're in a cave right now and just need some prayers. We want to pray with you. We want to help you any way we can. We encourage you to come while we stand and we sing this invitation song.